Immediately to Abidjan, where we are excited to chat to our Africa correspondent, Leanne de Bassompierre. Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm good, Rufilia. How are you?
I'm excellent. Thank you so much, Leanne. I want to dive right into the topic so we can get into all of them. Abidjan will be hosting COP15 on desertification. Interesting one, this.
Yes.
Never thought that that was... first of all, I didn't realize we had a COP for desertification. Whisper, whisper. But secondly,
yes.
I didn't know we could actually stop it.
Well, it's something that they're looking. I mean, it's one of the breakaway where COPs on specific themes, and it's something that's very important, and it's particularly impacting West Africa, where we've seen former nomads who've been able to use the arable land, and now going into terrorist organizations, being able to formerly live off the land and now not being able to do so. So it's particularly impacting this part of Africa, but 12 million hectares of arable land across the world have been affected by desertification and deforestation. Again, Ivory Coast particularly has lost 80% of its forest cover since independence, mainly, of course, due to cocoa production and the world's lava for chocolates. But these are some of the issues that will be discussed from now until the 20th of May. We had 12 heads of state in the city yesterday to come in and discuss this, open the proceedings, and experts will be meeting and putting their heads together over the next 10 days to discuss these very, very pressing issues affecting everyone across the globe.
All righty. And then, girl, can we just move ever forward? I can't. We can't have Peggy Cele and Yoweri Museveni and Good Luck Jonathan in charge in their respective countries. Enough with the Stetsons and the hats. So Good Luck Jonathan, the former president of Nigeria, is seeking another turn in office. My word.
Yeah, I love Nigerian elections. I love elections in general, but Nigerian elections really rank like top, very, very high. And these elections that are coming up next year are going to be another, I would say, a blockbuster type election.
Yes.
So Good Luck Jonathan, who was defeated by the APC in 2015, he's now seeking to run on their ticket. Can you imagine what a twist of events? But he's apparently, so the BBC is running the story, and they're saying that a supporters group bought his nomination, which is not the first time. It continues the trend of candidates or potential candidates not buying the nomination themselves. It's not a shoo-in, of course, that he will be the candidate. Different parties will have their primaries before the end of this month, because the 3rd of June is when they have to announce their candidacies to the Electoral Commission in Nigeria. So they'll have from the 3rd of June. We also have the central bank governor who's looking to be a candidate as well. And in fact, with Good Luck Jonathan, he will be up against very, very serious contenders for the APC tickets, the Lagos state governor, the vice president, as well as the transport minister. And it wasn't cheap to try to get that APC nomination. It was at least 100 million naira, which is about $240,000.
Oh, must be nice. Just the idea that, you never have to retire. Even Muhammadu Buhari is a former president from the 60s, 70s. So, yeah, these guys are like, we each have to do it at least twice.
bucket
list, but two buckets.
He had one term in office, so he is able to have another term in office. It's not like he's rewritten the constitution or anything like that.
That's right.
It is actually possible for him to run again.
Because when he stepped in, Yar Adua passed away.
We've seen that in Ghana, where one party has been in and come out and then run again. So I think it's very good for democracy actually that it is possible for parties to try and come back and lose the election, and then another party comes in. And so I think it makes for robust democracies.
It does. Very briefly, this one is an important one, particularly ahead of Wanderlust Wednesday. One of the reasons I'm always nervous to go to Cairo or to Egypt is this notion of female tourists always being harassed. So very interesting to see that arrests have been made of teenagers harassing female tourists around the pyramids.
Yes, 13 boys have been arrested, Rufilwe, after a video went viral on social media in Egypt. And in fact, it was these boys were harassing two female foreign tourists. Basically, they were around the pyramids, and these boys were trying to take photos of them. They groped them. And it was actually the person who took the video, who was another foreign tourist, who actually laid the complaint. And it's been taken quite seriously because last year, Parliament approved very, very harsh sexual harassment laws, and so now they could spend up to 2 years in jail if found guilty. And of course, you know, I know you've traveled a lot, you've traveled as a solo traveler, you traveled with other women. It is so frustrating that you just want to be there, enjoy yourself, and then to be harassed constantly. So I'm glad that they're becoming serious. And of course, Egyptian women, you know, getting onto to the Me Too movement, they've been a lot more vocal in the last few years about women's rights. In fact, this is very scary. In preparing for this, I found that a UN study in 2013 said, Rufilwe, that 99.3% of women in Egypt experience sexual harassment in their lifetime. 99.3%. That's of Egyptian women, not just of foreign women.
I'm unsurprised. Alrighty, we're going to catch up with you next week. Thank you so much, Leander Bassompierre, coming to us live from Abidjan for the Africa Report.